Whenever we lose our keys, we usually have to look in more than one place to find them. That if they are not hanging on that hook where we normally place them, we have to look everywhere, which is exactly where the psalmist begins. That Psalm 104 is this panoramic view of creation. It will not fit in a 4x6 frame. That the heavens and the earth are stretched out in front of us. That in the full psalm, it mentions the grass and cattle, the trees and birds, the moon and mountains, the sun and lions, and the goodness of creation. That it is a wide angled shot. And even though the psalm calls us to celebrate the goodness of creation, that is not the main point. The main point is the celebration of God, that God takes joy in creation. And even though this picture includes everything, God is still able to find us right where we are. As it says elsewhere, what are human beings that God is mindful of them, crowning them with glory? Or we are so valuable that even the hairs on our head are numbered. Or the Lord draws close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirits, which is why the shepherd and the woman go looking for the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now, when we've read these parables in the past, perhaps we have paid more attention to the items that are lost. Thinking about this lost sheep or that lost coin, but that's not the point of these parables. That is the point of the parable of the prodigal son. We know why the prodigal son goes missing, but in these parables, the emphasis is put on the shepherd and on the woman. Because in the parable of the prodigal son, the father does not go looking for the son that is missing. The son decides to return home. But in these parables, the shepherd and the woman venture out. That there is this active search party in all points bulletin. Everything else stopped. Nothing else mattered. I mean, the shepherd left the other 99 sheep behind, unattended, unsure if they would be there when he returned. And the woman stayed up all night long, looking in every nook and cranny, despite that early meeting she might have had the next morning. And we need to take notice that both the shepherd and the woman were quite well off. The shepherd had 100 sheep. The woman had 10 coins. But as Amy Jill Levine reminds us, when you have a great deal, it is easier for something to go unnoticed. It's like that scene from Home Alone You know, the first one, where they're rushing out the door, trying to make it to the airport so they do not miss their flight. And they are quickly counting heads before they leave the house to make sure everyone is accounted for. But they have two vans full of children. So it's easy for the neighbor's kid who wandered over, quite curious, to get counted as one of their own. So Kevin is left home alone. But even though one is lost, it does not, under any circumstances, diminish the value of the one. The shepherd didn't take solace in the fact that he still had the 99. And the woman didn't resolve just to hold on tighter to the 9 coins she had left. It's like Kevin's mother bargaining everything she had, trying to get a seat on a plane or a ride back home to find her son. And after the shepherd found the sheep, and after the woman located the coin, they celebrated. They went around and knocked on the neighbors' doors, invited everyone over, and they threw a party. It's the same celebration that we see in Psalm 104. But the tall truth of this short story is in the twist that Jesus tells this story right after a small group of religious leaders were criticizing him because he was welcoming sinners and eating with tax collectors. That these religious leaders did not think those people were worth the search. It was just too inconvenient that anytime we lose something, we have to decide, is it more valuable than what we're already doing to where we stop and go looking for it? Well, these religious leaders did not think these sinners and tax collectors were as important as what they were already doing. But Jesus did. Because just beyond the inconvenience is the joy of God. Now there is the theory of cheap sunglasses. You know, we're at the beginning of the summer when we're going to be traveling to the beach or in and out of our car quite often, we run to the gas station and buy a cheap pair of sunglasses. Because in all of that commotion, sunglasses can easily go unnoticed or easily become lost, so that if we lose them, we don't have to search for them. We just go out and buy another pair of cheap sunglasses. But then again, there are other things that are worth the inconvenience. In fact, as strange as it sounds, in these parables, inconvenience is a sacred word. And we see it in the celebration. If we have ever lost a child, even for a split second in the middle of a large crowd, we know what that kind of celebration feels like when we finally put our arms around them again. So these parables are nudging us to take notice of what truly matters. It's stopping in the middle of a busy afternoon because a child wants to share with us the song that they have been practicing on the piano. It's stopping at the end of the school day after the bell rings when we really have to rush out to an appointment because a student wants to share a poem with us even though it's not part of the class assignments. Or it's stopping in the hallways of the church, offering encouragement to a young person who's had a hard week. Children have a great deal to teach us about inconvenience. Several years ago, a journalist hosted a social experiment in Washington, D.C., which has happened in different cities and in different ways. But he hired Joshua Bell, a world-renowned violinist, to play at a subway stop during rush hour when people were trying to get to work or drop their kids off at school. And he played in disguise, just jeans and a t-shirt. Then he played a violin worth $3.5 million. But he placed his case on the ground and just put a couple dollar bills in there, you know, to get the tips started. And he played for 45 minutes. And he made a whopping $32. A 1,097 people walked by. Only 7 stopped. But the most interesting part of the story is they watched it take place. Every time a child walked by, he or she tried to stop and listen, but every time a parent just rushed them away. That they missed the celebration because of the inconvenience. The church, strangely enough, has always valued inconvenience. Just look at how we make decisions. We're not built for speed. We meet in committees. We gather as a congregation to make decisions. But we know it involves more voices. And it creates more community. Even the practice of Sabbath is meant to be inconvenient. That we work for 6 days and we're quite productive. But then we're supposed to stop and to rest and to gather and to worship so that we can pay attention to God. To one another, to the needs in our community, and let us not forget to celebrate. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a couple folks having a conversation on the radio. They were talking about vacation, and one of them said to the other, "So, is it relaxing to go on vacation with your children?" And the other person said, "No, of course not. It feels like work. I mean, everybody can't carry their own luggage. You have to pack an extra bag just full of snacks. You stop 3 times as much for bathroom breaks. And don't even take a book. You won't be able to sit down and read." But beyond the inconvenience is the joy. Because we have time to hear them talk about the world around them and to see it from their eyes. That we have a chance to try to answer all of their questions that come up on the road trip, giving us a deeper appreciation for life. And we get to celebrate what is good inside of them, making memories that they can hold on to, but so can we. That we need to practice inconvenience regularly as a way to honor the people around us, to cultivate the community of faith, to serve the needs of others, and most of all, to experience the joy of God. Amen.